I am now officially sold for the rest of my entire adult life that I'm never gonna have a Google Home, an Alexa, anything like that.
Of course
This
not.
shit is literally Hall 9000. This fucker has complete control of his room 24/7. Just
People have Alexas in their rooms and shit, and I can't have that. I can't let white people have that much power over my bedroom.
It's.
That's a fact. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan from the internet.
I'm Sean, not from the internet.
Yeah, you said it for me last time, so I'm just going to own it at this point. You have to own it. It is episode 103. We are in California. Hopefully there are no earthquakes during this podcast, because then there'll be some...
You know how down I would be if there's an earthquake on this podcast?
We have video now.
Because we have video, and you know how many hits we would get? Actually, like, dead ass. Shit, I wish we recorded 2 days ago. It would have been rolling, and then, I don't know, just put Tyler Creator's earthquake in the background.
The thing is, we don't have, like... The thing about earthquakes in California is that if you actually know about earthquakes, there's actually a little bit of time before you decide whether you're going to run or just, like, wait it out.
That's so, extreme truth.
When I was doing that, I was actually in this room we're in right now, and nothing was really shaking or moving around. No, on Saturday. Actually, yeah, on Friday, because remember, we were lucky and we had the day off. But the only thing that was shaking were, like, off camera, there are some, like, hangers in a closet there, and the ones that didn't have clothes were shaking a little bit, but... this is on this edition of the Californians.
Right.
We have a couple of new singles I think are pretty interesting. We have just a sprinkling of news. I lied again. We were not going to do any music reviews this episode. We're just going to have our song of the summer kind of thing. But Revenge of the Dreamers Part 3 happened to have dropped, and so there's a little bit of that to talk about. And there's just like a sprinkling of news. And Sean has Maddie Healy versus the Imagine Dragons. The Imagine Dragons, and another noted little bitch update. Plus, ASAP Rocky's in jail.
Oh, that's a whole thing,
too. We were this close to a no-chill island, but I just don't have the effort
I
energy
know,
right now.
No.
But
we were pretty close.
This is going to be fun. So first off, in new singles is I Want to Thank Me by Snoop Dogg. This is a song that's directly referencing the his Hollywood Walk of Fame speech that he had. Maybe it was last year, I don't know.
Whenever it was.
Time is a flat circle, it needs to end sooner. He did this thing where he was like a whole speech about, I want to thank me for loving myself and not taking any days off and working on. Just like,
it's like, I want to thank me.
It's a self flex. And from Snoop Dogg, who actually is a decently humble person a lot of the time, especially for a rapper, it was a very funny moment, but now it turned into a song that is like a celebration of himself.
Always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for just being me at all times. Snoop Dogg, you a bad motherfucker. Eagle side homie coming up. I was young and I didn't give a fuck. Long Beach nigga, a fiend for the bucks. Lean in my chucks, banger on tuck. Yeah, long time coming, had to earn my G. Gold digging hoes, had to learn my feet. I beat a couple cases, I'm H.O.T. I'm Snoop Dogg to the world, gotta thank old me.
But even though, like, Snoop Dogg has made, like, how many thousands of songs at this point? Whatever. It's fine. It was funny.
It's funny. Especially after watching the video where he was at El Dorado Golf Course being ratchet and shit around white people. Made my day.
Next week, we have Africa Express, Big Crit, Tyco, and Ed Sheeran happening.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Sheeran releasing an album. Hopefully
this
I
makes me fun,
don't though. Get banned. We had a Black Keys bonus episode that kind of sums up the Black Keys' history, and we reviewed their album in the last episode, so check those out. And... yeah, it's going to be fun. We're doing the song of the summer, too. The reason why Drake... Why Sean just laughed.
Don't ever fucking call me Drake in your life, or I'll show these hands. There's a picture of Drake and Millie Bobby Brown, and it just makes me extremely uncomfortable.
You know what? I am being a little bit nice, and so I'm going to not continue the Drake-you comparison, because I have a joke, but it's just going to end the podcast.
Next thing you know, you're just getting me on camera just fucking shoving his head with my laptop. This is the death. Live, on camera, man strangles for best friend to death. I hate the Toronto Maple Leafs, so
anyways,
Drake can go fuck himself.
Stranger Things Season 3 is happening. People have binge-watched it. People know what happens. I haven't really watched the whole thing and probably won't work up the mental energy to watch the whole thing. But nevertheless, it's an important time to point out that Drake has a very interesting relationship with the now 15-year-old star Millie Bobby Brown. Considering his also previous relationship with Young Chirons and how he likes to treat them.
And now he has a kid.
I mean, you can have a kid and not be creepy around kids. But Drake is creepy around underage children.
Around a lot of people.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say it, but, you know.
Meanwhile,
meanwhile, Hal Bailey. It's so annoying. Because her name is so close to Halle Berry. And Halle Berry even pointed this out.
Yes.
In the announcement.
But, I know.
Hal Bailey from Chloe and Hal is going to star in the live-action Little Mermaid. The reason why this is a music thing is because she's a musical artist for a Disney role.
Yeah.
It's also funny because half of Twitter had a bitch fit because...
Because she black.
Because she's black.
It's like, oh my god, how can you make a black girl make it Ariel?
Fuck everything.
All right.
Anyone who is really pissed about the Hal Bailey mermaid thing can
stop.
Kill themselves.
Spotify, they scrapped their direct upload program, which is absolute bullshit. It's actually really bad because we talked about this last year when they started their direct upload with, I think last May, I'd like to say, or last June. So what it is artists don't have to go through record labels and stuff to upload the music to Spotify. They just can directly upload it, kind of like YouTube, where you go, oh, here's a song that I made and released, and boom, it's on the program. It's great for a lot of independent artists and, you know, indie bands and stuff that are just starting up trying to get their record deals and other things in order. But in the meantime, when you don't have shit, it's nice to upload it, and or if you have a crappy record deal, whatever. But
it decreases the barriers to entry for artists to get their music onto one of the largest streaming platforms in the world. I mean, basically the big three, and I kind of usually think of it as Spotify and Apple Music, but a lot of people just listen to music on YouTube, and YouTube just has like an...
YouTube music is a big thing.
And then there's SoundCloud as well, but SoundCloud and YouTube, their advantage is that there's basically no barrier to entry to upload music on that.
No matter what.
Apple Music and Spotify pay out marginally better and a little bit better with like people's rights, which is like a whole different dynamic of how the music works there on those platforms. But it's kind of what you were saying there. The fact that it's going to be harder now for musicians to get on Spotify is definitely not a move in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's just as annoying to have another hurdle for newer artists and stuff to get in and release music in this day and age of streaming. So it's a really shitty move from Spotify, which has already done a big string of shitty moves in the past year and a half or so. So we have our album review. Revenge of the Dreamers 3.
Yes, this is J. Cole kind of, he had this epiphany sort of because he's known as like the platinum with no features rapper guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Where he has made a lot of...
That's one of the things that we like about him.
Yeah, and he kind of had this realization that he has made a lot of music by himself, and he doesn't want to kind of be perceived as like being in this time where there's a lot of talent in the music industry out there, some undiscovered, some very well known, but that he can kind of bring together and actually work with them more. So it's kind of a shift.
Yeah, and see how the sound is too. So,
and it's different because this reigns similar of, okay, I'm going to grab a bunch of artists and get them to come together to make music. I mean, that's arguably what DJ Khaled does, but like when DJ Khaled does it, it's definitely like it's a star fuck. It's just like, you know, I mean, not really intentionally crafted.
That's how a lot of albums have been being made with bigger pop artists and bigger trap artists and rap in general, where the more popular it is, usually the more star fucky it is kind of my general correlation. But this is a complete different project where he just invited people to come over and be like, you know what, fuck it, let's make some music because I'm not used to doing this with a bunch of different artists. Obviously, he has features on his stuff already.
Yeah,
but
and Dreamville, like, this is part three of like a thing that he's done before.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, he's totally new to this, but this is the first time in a while for sure.
And it's 18 songs, an hour and 4 minutes long. It definitely feels long. There are some really good tracks in here. There's some really dog shit ones. It's kind of hit and miss, but I figured that with the amount of talent that is on there.
Yeah.
And granted, I'm obviously not the biggest rap / trap fan, but the numbers that were not so trappy tend to be the better ones on the album. And I've noticed a lot of the tracks were two songs in one. Even if the songs are only like 3 or 4 minutes long, it would be like, a minute, 2 minutes of this, and then it would completely switch off to...
That's kind of become a trend.
And it's, yeah, it's becoming more of a trend, but I like it when it's longer songs, when they cut out, and I talked about that last week with Tom York, and a couple of my favorite songs in general, where they do that, where it's two songs into one.
Madlib, who himself is like, as a producer, has done this a lot in his history, also did it last week with Freddie Gibbs and Madlib working together, and Bandana.
So it's something that I don't want it to become a trend. I want it to be something that is not used that often, and it's only used when it's in like one kind of idea, and it's in its own little bubble of things, because it only rarely works for me. So like, yes, with Coldplay, which is an old song that they did, I think they've only really done that a couple of times in their entire discography of music, but the couple of times they've done it, it's been pretty good. But now when you have, especially with shorter songs, when you cut a song into half and you kind of section it off, it feels rushed and it feels really strange and it puts me off beat. So that happened a bunch in the top half of this album where a lot of the songs, I mean, I get the ideas and everything, but it felt so off. I'd be in one mood and then boom, it just slammed me into it. It started like an R&B mood, which you can, you know, kind of feel, you can bop to it, nothing too crazy. And then out of nowhere, I go into a really hard trap beat. And that happened on a couple of tracks. And I go, okay, this is strange, but it wasn't quite cohesive as much as I'd like it to be. Yeah. And there are other tracks that were just pure jammers. So I don't know if you had the same kind of thing with me. I'm trying to think of a song that I liked. I think Swivel. It was either Swivel or Old Wild Swerve, 4 or 5. I can't remember which one.
For me, it was honestly both, but I do remember
those ones
Swivel
were pretty good because the first three songs were cut in half a lot, and those two didn't, and they felt a little bit better, and they felt more cohesive and smooth. I know niggas dead out of desperation. R.I.P. my nigga Allen Dem. I wish you would've stayed at home. Learn to make the best out of shitty situation. No complaining, no more Xan. I leave the medicine alone. Dog, I swear to God that I'm changing for the better. Fuck whoever got the nerd to try to tell. For an experimental trap rap. R&B,
and like
whatever,
a mixtape. It's not even like an album. I'm not reading it like an album because I wouldn't expect it to play fully through.
It's a bunch of artists coming together to
you make a couple tracks here, you make some stuff there. I think Earth Gang really like flourished on this album.
It's good. I do enjoy it. It's something that it'll take some time to get used to because of how out there it is, but that's the entire point of the album, and I really appreciate that because in a genre that is so stagnant, it's nice to get a breath of fresh air and have new ideas, new stuff to come out. And it's nice when a starfuck isn't a starfuck for once.
Right. So. The arbitrary scale I'm going to use for this, is California earthquake, since it's relevant.
Okay, what's the scale? Is bigger earthquake bad or is the lower earthquake good?
I mean, there's only one album we're reviewing, so...
It literally doesn't matter, does it?
It's an arbitrary scale. That's the
doesn't
answer.
Doesn't matter. All right, this is Northridge, baby. This is Northridge, 94.
I'm going with Loma Prieta.
Wow, all right. That's fucking random fact of the day. Brought to you by Dan Evans.
Okay, Loma Prieta is the Northridge of Northern California.
I know it is. It's never talked about, but I mean, yeah. It's not the great San Francisco earthquake of 1901 where it's just like, here's San Francisco. Now.
If you're not like real local for California for sure, you wouldn't know about the Loma Prieta earthquake too much. The Northridge one, people heard a lot more.
Exactly.
Level Los Angeles. Loma Prieta happened around the same like decade, I guess you
could
say.
In the 90s, right?
Late 80s. It was 89.
Okay.
But basically, there is a bridge that connects a bunch of freeways right before you go across the bay between Oakland and San Francisco. And at the time, they were like double-decker freeways. During the earthquake, those freeways collapsed.
Oh, so it was a Northridge, where it just goes.
I have a picture right here. If you'd like to.
Yep. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, make it look easy.
Never be on a freeway during an earthquake. I do not recommend it.
You remember where the IKEA was in Emeryville?
Mm-hmm.
That's right around there.
That's rough.
Yeah,
that's rough in the streets.
They've improved that now, but we've got some really interesting things to talk about before Song of the Summer, so let's get into it.
So
Matty Healy has a little tiff with Imagine Dragons. Sean, would you walk us through the festivities?
This is hilarious to me. So, whoever the head... Oh, Dan Reynolds, who's the head of Imagine Dragons, he's getting nominated for Not a Little Bitch for this, and I will elaborate because he needs to.
This is a thick list.
This is a thick list, but this one,
like nine C's.
Yeah. So in a 27 interview with Q Magazine, Maddie, he pointed criticism for Imagine Dragons. He said, "Songs like Radioactive, my Imagine Dragons, it might as well be called Pikachu Banana. It's nothingness. There's no space for nothingness anymore, and pop music has so much space for it." But he said, in like, the lead up to what he said, he's really big on like being an activist and other things, because he goes, "Hey, we have a platform. Let's talk about some things. You know, I'm here. Why not? Let's do something about it. Make music and other things, art forms that actually have meaning to it." And he said, "Not like Imagine Dragons." This is a couple years ago. And then Dan Reynolds said, he's like, "Oh, there's a difference between being a bully and a critic, and it's one thing to state your opinion about art, other entirely to be vindictive." And it's, so this was a couple years ago that this stupid shit happened. So then he went on Maddie had a big interview or whatnot with a radio station or some shit, and somebody asked, the interviewer asked him about Imagine Dragons. And he goes, it's like, hold on, let me see the quote, there you go. So he goes, "I think it should be the burden of any decent artist regarding to talk about activism, other things, especially," Maddie's big thing is climate change and plastic and stuff. He said, "Hey, we're wasting all this stuff. We don't need this to be in the ocean, another crap," which he's got a point. He said, "Like, I think I've been accused of having to go at people about being an activist." And he said, did you see that guy from Imagine Dragons? He went online quite recently. He's kind of like, "Everyone's like slagging off my band. Everyone's saying that we're not good enough," whatever. He's like, "Billy Corgan said that. Maddie said that." And so Maddie goes,
This is the frontman of Imagine Dragons who's now kind of reacting to the fact that Maddie Healy gave some very pointed, admittedly very pointed and like critical and like hard hitting, but like it was fair criticism, and it was most importantly criticism that was based in some sort of like fact and evidence. He said, "Hey, this is what I take criticism with your music. This is why I think it should be done differently. Yes, of course you have your right to do it your own way, but I also have a right to talk about it and describe it in the way that I want
and
as well."
And he says, "My point wasn't that Imagine Dragons aren't good. I don't care. If you're that big, if you're the biggest alternative band in America, radio play-wise, and you're saying nothing in your music, if you're saying nothing in your words other than radioactive, whoa, 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 do you know what I mean? It's not, what's the point? And if you can tell me what the point is apart from escapism, then there's nothing there."
Right.
And he said, we're rubbish, like, with this protest music nowadays as a society. Look, after 9/11, that was so hard for the country to deal with. Everybody's listening to fucking Jack Johnson, Norah Jones, because people don't want to deal with reality. But we have to deal with reality. So seeing that guy from Imagine Dragons getting on stage the other week at the Billboard Music Awards, start talking about conversion therapy and saying how it was bullshit, we need to stop it. He said, there you go. Good. Use your platform. I'm not going to slag you off for that. But the main point is, the head of Imagine Dragons basically didn't want to hear any criticism from fellow artists because he's insecure as fuck.
Yeah.
So Dan because Reynolds, you're getting nominated for the Nolo Bitch because Maddie called you out. Rightfully so, because A, your music is garbage, and your latest album is on my long list of worst album of the year.
Again, time is weird for me. Imagine Dragons released an album this year.
Yes.
Oh, right, I do remember that. It was absolutely garbage, yeah.
Even hardcore Imagine Dragon fans that I know all say it's garbage. So, dude, you're on the know a little bit.
Like, it's okay.
Thank you, Maddie. First of all,
props to Maddie Healy because, yeah, he did call it out. Secondly, it probably might be hard if you're getting bad feedback from fans on an album that you probably worked hard on, but, like,
The criticism, dude. Take it as, okay, maybe we need to change something. Maybe
or argue why they're wrong in a better way than saying, don't be so mean, don't be so harsh.
And again, don't bully you and be a critic. Be
the original existence for the Noted Little Bitch Award, now we've broadened it, but like the original reason
is white males complaining on Twitter.
White men complaining on Twitter.
And this is a white male complaining on Twitter, so he fits the criteria.
Fits the criteria very easily, and like, that's all I need to say. You're a white male in 2019, and you are complaining on Twitter about bullying, about the... wow, I've gotten all heated on this rally. Yeah, you're right.
Told you!
It's fucking ridiculous. For the Noted Little Bitch, it's going to be great.
Speaking of other things, fucking free ASAP Rocky, apparently.
Fucking free ASAP. Okay. So, what happened was...
ASAP Rocky's in jail. Don't drop this out.
He was involved in a street fight in Sweden. TMZ, according to them, have the video. Dun, dun, dun.
Always. The best three letters in music.
Definitely not MTV and definitely not The Enemy. But according to TMZ and kind of what they said from Rocky's people, the fight began after the two men accused the rapper of breaking a pair of headphones. The ASAP Rocky said that these men had kind of been following them for a round and been harassing the women they were around.
Yeah, yeah.
There's even on the video, it says, like, there are these women that are complaining that these two men that are following the women and ASAP Rocky and his crew were groping them.
Yeah.
Someone in ASAP Rocky's crew apparently like had rocks thrown at them, but they weren't trying to like get on it. But eventually, you know, they were just like,
you know, push comes to shove.
Too much. Yeah. Yeah. And like their bodyguards there, and push definitely came to shove. But it was all caught on camera. It was definitely a beat ass down.
Like he fucked them up. But I mean, this seems rightfully so that he fucked them up, because everything, the evidence, seems to be pointing in his favor, where it's people kept fucking with his people, basically.
Yeah, and it was a thing of self-defense.
And he defended his people. So, free ASAP Rocky.
Absolutely. Like, and the fact that these guys were kind of creeping around looking for attention and decided to group people on their way to it makes me also, like,
If you group people, you deserve to get kicked in the balls. Do you want me to kick you in the nuts?
What? It's Swedish meatballs. Not kidding, Swedish meatballs are delicious. They need to be chemically castrated. Maybe given the electric chair and then shot 5 times for good measure. Cardi B is not going to be able to use her trademark signature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office actually ruled on Cardi B's
patent.
Well, she filed
a patent. She filed for
a
patent.
Yeah, like a filing for a patent. They said that it's too close to, like, you know, words. The rejection's saying that it was, it's commonly,
you can't,
like,
you can't patent a word, miss. You're not allowed to.
It's too commonly used in the drag community, for example. It's used in the gay community. It's used for, like, a bunch of different parlance vernacular. So the PTO was just like, I'm sorry, Cardi.
This dog just ain't gonna hunt.
We have another part of the federal government, Cardi B, the Justice Department, that is actually looking into your New York altercation, presenting an indictment over
that's
here.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm down.
Time for a song of the summer.
Yeah.
So, we've done this now twice, and it is going to be... This is crooked, and it's bothering me.
Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Media.
That too.
Well, the... Finally. Good, I'm with it. So, Song of the Summer, we've done this twice now, but we do this a couple of ways. We acknowledge what is, like, on paper, technically the Song of the Summer.
Yes, but then we also say, fuck that, because our music taste is better than everybody's, and we give our songs of the summer.
Yes. So,
But there are some in here that I do actually agree with, and there are others where I'm like, okay.
So the Song of the Summer, just definitionally speaking, is like a long-standing tradition where we take the best song in English-speaking countries, namely America and England, and we decide that this is going to be like the song that defines this year and time for this generation.
Yes.
Mostly because, you know, it's the summer, the sun's out, people are
having barbecues and parties and fireworks, and people are exploding houses and
making babies that you can't get rid of in most of the states in this country, but anyways, it's Song of the Summer, it's when all the magic happens. Lil Nas X currently has that shit on lock with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Old Town Road, I mean, yeah, I kind of figured that.
Pause for a sec. It's broken the record, it's now the longest time a hip-hop song has been number one on the charts.
It's so wild that people like that song so much. It's insane. The second song is Bad Guy by Billie Eilish, and that's one of the songs I agree with, 100%.
I'm fine.
I'm fine with it. I do like that song. It has a summer mood.
I'm happy with the top three.
What's the other one? And Talk by Khaled, and slash Disclosure, because, you know, got a shout out to our English lads. Those top three, I can get down with, even though Old Town Road can get annoying because of how much it's played. Bad Guy and Talk, I hear it, I'm good, and it's, granted, I do not listen to the radio unless it's MPE because everybody else is dog shit, but when I'm out and about, which is not that often, but, you know, you go to a bar or something, and you hear it, it pops on, you're okay. Like, I could fuck with this.
Yeah.
And even a couple of my friends who are, you know, pretty big into music and they don't like pop that much, they hear both those songs and they can get down with it, so.
Yeah, there's a Billie Eilish song, My Strange Addiction.
which
that
you're
is going
on
to
there.
Be an Audio Face Song of the Summer playlist, which will be linked to in this podcast description. Or you could also access it by going to 2019.audioface.show, and so you'll be able to get it from that really simple
link. Well, why don't you run down the top 10?
Sure, yeah.
So, 4, we have I Don't Care by Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber.
That's a single off of the project coming that we're going to hear from next week. And that's just like Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber are both like super popular stars.
Yeah,
the song has been
out
for a minute, so like, of course, they're like, shoot!
5 is Sucker by Jonas Brothers, kind of same thing. 6 and 7 are both Post Malone. 6 is Wow, and 7 is Sunflower, which Post Malone and Swae Lee. 8 is Suge by DaBaby. 9 is Dancing with a Stranger by Sam Smith and Normani. And 10 is I Can't Have You by Shawn Mendes. So, I mean, these are all pretty popular stars. I mean, you already know how much I fucks with Sam Smith's music. I do enjoy him a lot. The other guys are kind of garbage, but it's not the worst Song of the Summer. Because last year's Song of the Summer list wanted me to pull my fucking eyebrows out. But I think with actually, we're seeing kind of a change in pop music with the likes of Billie Eilish, especially with how big her album was received and how well it's actually being liked for the most part. I'm surprised because it's quite experimental to the point where...
It's experimental for pop, for sure.
For pop, and people are starting to... And I'm hearing this in different conversations, too, where I'm hearing people saying this shit...
Yeah, normals.
Yeah, normals. Not even us music freaks. People that are saying, hey, all this stuff is starting to sound the same, or this is really boring. I go, the world listens to Audio Face.
They just don't even know it.
They don't even know they listen to Audio Face, but they listen to Audio Face.
Here we
face.
Are like the fucking Rothschilds, like controlling the music culture right here from the levers of the... Exactly right here. From Mochi and
Chemtrails.
Hobbit Homes.
So those are the top 10, and now we're gonna give our picks.
Fluoride!
Fluoride! The fluoride! The turn of the fucking frogs gay!
So,
I wanna go to space!
The rules for Audio Face Song of the Summer is that it has to be from September of the previous year or newer. So anything from September 2018 to now is fair
game.
Thank
you for giving me that rule.
Yes.
How many do you wanna pick?
I think we can pick like 2 or 3.
I wanted to do 3.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to do 3.
You don't have to rank them if you want to rank them, whatever. But hang on, just to finish the qualifications.
Oh my god.
It needs to be like a certified summer bop, meaning like it needs to be playable at summer events, like bonfires, parties, pool kickbacks, barbecues, hanging out,
meeting people.
Breaking up with people. Has to work with all of that. Has to be good like that. Usually poppy, sort of energetic stuff, but obviously, if Billie Eilish is on this list, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
I have 10 songs on this list, and there's a wide variety of that shit.
But we have a fucking 3.5 hour.
We have a 3.5 hour goddamn
playlist. So.
Playlist. It was funny because a lot of the songs you were picking on there, I'm like, I was gonna put this on there. And if that kept happening over and over again, I'm like, stop. So then I put 10 that I knew you weren't gonna put on there, and then I stopped.
Good.
My first one is Earthquake by Tyler, the Creator, on his album Igor. And it's hilarious when I picked that, because then I put that song in there, and then literally like 4 hours later, Earthquake happened.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious.
I did not think we would have begun the year 2019 with you coming out as like a Tyler, the Creator fan.
Like, I mean, I actually really like it, Igor.
I remember we had just started Audio Face around when Scumfuck Flower Boy came out.
Yeah, and I didn't like it.
You were like partial to it, but you didn't like love it.
No.
But like this
Igor, I gave my review. I fucking love that album. And Earthquake is a amazing bop where it's super chill. You can play it at any party. You can play it when you know in a bedroom doing God knows what. You can do whatever you want.
Making earthquakes.
Making earthquakes.
Yes. Friend of the show, Hassan the Hun, was talking on Twitter about how someone was slapping the sack during the earthquake. One of his neighbors he was able to notice. Earl Sweatshirt was saying that he was also mid-coitus during the earthquake, so connection, I don't know.
How does coitus work when during earthquake?
What's your other pick, Sean?
What's what? Oh, you want me to do all three?
Do you have anything else to say about earthquake? Like, what qualifies it for being a song of the summer?
No.
Okay, then go to the next one.
The next one is, and this is something that I didn't think would be a song of the summer, but it actually is It's Not Living If It's Not With You by My Boys, the 1975.
Okay.
Because I am hearing it everywhere. Yeah. It is the most random song from Brief Inquiry. I mean, it's probably now their most popular song because it's getting heard a lot, but when I was at different malls or bars, I'm hearing It's Not Living If It's Not With You being played everywhere, especially the past 2 months. A Brief Inquiry came out in November. I thought it was a very, very, very good song, and I said that. Yeah. But I didn't think it was going to be as popular as, like, Two Time, Give Yourself a Try, or Love If You Made It.
Yeah.
But this is a song that
has eclipsed several of those songs.
Yeah, and it's such, and it is such a high beat song to where you can bop to it, you can cry to it. There's so much a range of emotions, because the song is about Maddie's heroin addiction, but he wanted it to make it into a poppy alternative rock song, because he said, you know what? Let's have some fun with it because of how deep of a subject it is. And I did not expect it to be a song of the summer. I did not expect to put any of like my favorite bands on here because I tried not to. But that one, I keep hearing it all over the place. And anytime I hear it, I'm like, there it is.
We were talking just a little bit about what our picks were might have been before this. And I remember comparing this to On Melancholy Hill.
Yeah, you could say that.
Like from the Gorillaz Plastic Beach album, you weren't expecting it to do as well as it did. It ended up being like the best performing single on Plastic Beach. It was similarly a fun sounding summer song, but the song was called On Melancholy Hill.
Yeah,
it's very depressing, actually. You can actually be very sad to it, or you can be like very happy and like have
beach balls to it.
So, yeah, like, it is very versatile in that way.
And then my last song. I mean, there's so many I want to pick, but I know this one definitely is Patience by Tame Impala.
Mm.
Which came out in March, I'd like to say. I cannot wait for their album. I'm just sitting here like, please give it to me. It's such a good damn song for this year. It's upbeat. It has a lot of different meanings to it, kind of similar to Living If It's Not With You. It has a Boehner piano drum bass beat that just for the whole 5 minutes you're just moving to that song the entire time. I was playing it yesterday at my friend's pool and somebody asked me, oh, what song is this? I really like it. And I go, oh, Patience by Tame Impala. And then I played Borderline, which is the other Tame Impala song. I was like, oh, this sounds like Tame Impala. I'm like, haha, you're learning.
Nice.
So it's something to where I think people are going to enjoy that song. I hear it every once in a while, too, out in the wild as well. It feels summery. You can, again, have so many different emotions to it. So it's a song that I enjoy thoroughly. Yeah, definitely up there, and I cannot wait for the release. There's a lot of songs I wanted to put in here.
We're going to do some honorable mentions after this, I think.
There are songs where I'm like, these are definitely going to be songs of the summer for me, but I don't think you can really bump these at parties, but it's something where it'll put you in a mood where you're by yourself with headphones somewhere, which is a completely different
I think that there's like versatility to that. So like those are like throughout the playlist that we'll be sharing.
Yes.
But those are really good. It was really hard for me to choose some of these. But
yeah, and same here.
I'm going to do with a little bit of a curveball pick, and I'm kind of cheating. I'm using some of my music recommendations from a couple weeks in the future. But Lizzo has a song. Have you heard of Lizzo yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's kind of popular because of the Truth Hurts.
Yes.
That song
yes.
and the line, I'm 100% that bitch.
Yep.
So, like, that's a really poppy song, and I think it combines the best of 21 Savage's Bank Account mm-hmm. with Ray Sherman's Black Beatles. I literally was like, oh, I know exactly which two songs.
Yeah, that's actually a good comparison for that song.
Yeah.
True Thirst is a banger. I like that song. Don't text me, tell it straight to my face. Best friend, set me down in the salon chair. Shampoo press, get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bomb lighting. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. True Hurts needed something more exciting.
Beat-wise, it goes really good. For like her debut, it's just like pretty phenomenal. And
oh,
it
wow,
will work.
Yeah, that's the plays and everything. I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah, it will work pretty well for like any sort of summer thing.
And yeah, and I hear that song too a lot as well. It's being played now.
It's actually number 15 on Billboard, so it's like slowly climbing its way up.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
might be one of the sleepers this year, just like Khaled himself was a sleeper.
It definitely will be.
So absolutely that
Sweet.
Song.
All right, what's part two? Pick two, if I can speak English words.
I was really, I mentioned last week that there are some songs in here that are definitely going to make Song of the Summer with Freddie Gibbs and Madlib.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm now going to get into that. Cataracts.
Cataracts, yeah.
Cataracts. Yeah. It's just like, there are like some Doom songs. What is it? No, it's like Rap Snitch Conditions, where it's like psychedelic fun. So
yeah,
it's a very
yeah, it has a fun guitar
kind of
beat and everything in it
yeah.
as well.
The guitar like sort of strum and outlay, where it's very psychedelic and fun, kind of twangy.
I can definitely get on board. Chevy Cadillac, good for my cataracts. Bad food, fast food, getting fat. Nineest in the clip attack, swinging like a battle axe. I'm chilling in my old school Chevy Cadillac, smoking on that good for my cataracts. Fucking up this bad food, fast food, getting fat. Nineest in the clip attack, swinging like a battle axe. Living like Peter Broker, fucking these smokers up in bag and crack. Antonio Montana train, mama wasn't having that. Niggas ain't so
the song is about like the song is about smoking weed for your cataracts,
yeah.
for your eye thing, and like having fun and
like,
good time in the
it.
Summer, sort of shit, chilling. It's a good kind of thing to blast when you're like in
you're
a car
driving,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think these songs are good at and good as. And the third, wow, this is really hard.
Trust me, I'm the same thing. I wanted to pick 45 different songs, but we had a limited three, or else this would be 8-hour podcast.
I'm actually going to go with a very, very, very curveball one. In that Home, but the BTS song was in my head a lot. And I think
really?
It was very good as a like song.
I mean, it is because
it's
actually being played. I remember hearing BTS now on mainstream English radio.
Yeah.
Because, and we talked about that when their album was released. We say these guys are going to start breaking charts here. Definitely. And I can get on board with Home.
Yeah, I think
I
it's like...
I mean, it's still... I think it's too poppy, but that's, I know it's a beat to where people will definitely enjoy it, and it's something that you can blast and make it a crowd pleaser throughout.
Yeah.
Even if it's a completely different language if you don't speak Korean. I know three people that speak Korean, actually. And they're like, oh shit, you're playing Korean music.
Yeah. Very good. Honorable mentions. You want to kind of kick it off here?
How many honorable mentions should we do?
We're not going to go through the whole playlist because I think that'd be exhausting. But like,
I'll go a couple. So
we'll just like trade off back and forth. Like maybe like a song you have, like a couple sentences from it.
Do You Love Her Now by Jai Paul. Holy shit, that song breaks my heart and is experimental. It's awesome. It's you can't really play it at a party, but it's a very, very good song to listen to. Put on your headphones, sit in the couch, and just you want good music. Jai Paul is phenomenal. Do You Love Her Now? Okay, you go. We're just gonna boom, boom, boom. Let's do this.
God, I'm so, I had it and then I lost it, but,
Five, four, three, two.
You should go.
Yeah,
I'll respond with two.
Neon Wound by Silver Sun Pickups. Their opening track on Widow's Weeds. Banger of a track. Definitely, so you can put this in the summer. You can make it, you know, listen to it by yourself when you're running or working out. It's a good song to play in the background as well. I think it's one of their bigger tracks on that album, and I think they did not get recognition they deserve for that album. I think they got snubbed by a lot of music critics. I think it was good. And Neon Moon is a great song.
I think it doesn't help that like rock is just generally like our rock is dead thing kind of worked too well. A lot of people
and
rock is dead, and they're not like reviewing and approaching rock with the same sort of, I think, fascination and excitement that other genres are getting, which is fine. Yes. Give other genres their excitement because these are exciting times for them, but don't let that overexcitement in other places bias what is good music.
Exactly. So rock. Neon Wound is such a good song. Go.
Okay, I've got two and I can come back with it. Sweetness on My Tongue by Jerry Folk from Jerry Your Take.
Yep.
Again, just very pool vibe, funky, groovy.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Good. Satisfaction Guaranteed, I think we mentioned this, by Two Door Cinema Club.
It's a good song. Good
track.
All right. Monte Carlo featured Wet by Toro et Moi. Ha 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 ha, that's such a fun song. Listen to that shit. It's a good track.
Yes. I have to bring it back to earlier this year. Stay Flow by Solange.
Yeah.
Like, Don't Sleep on Solange. That album was great. It's easy to kind of, like, forget and have, like, out of the back of your head because so much good music has happened in this past, like, couple of months. Mm-hmm. But definitely there are some songs on there that deserve to be in your summer rotation.
Speaking of rock that is actually a little different, Break It to Me by Muse.
Oh, yeah.
It has such a funky little, like, electronic dub beat within a rock song, and it's feels
a little
new,
bit
feels
scratchy.
Fresh.
Yeah.
I really like that song, and it's fitting for the mood of summer this year. So, Break It to Me, Muse. Go.
I can respond with my like sort of sad boy. I wouldn't play this at an event or like thing, but it's a good like summer track. I think off of Igor again, A Boy Is a Gun.
Okay,
very
I can
good.
Do that.
I was actually just like sort of chilling at the beach, and it's just a very peaceful song to have while ocean waves are going by and kids are playing a song about it. Guy trying to not shoot people. maybe one more?
Yeah, I'll do one more. Chris Salis, which I can't pronounce that song, by Empire of the Sun. I fucks heavy with Empire of the Sun, I always have since their debut album. They've blown up in the past 2 years out of nowhere, but they definitely deserve all the recognition. It's a good little track that they released in February of this year, and it's a nice little funky beat, electro beat, where you can just literally chill and sit. It's a perfect song to sit at the beach. When it's like when it's afternoon, what's the twilight?
Yes.
When it's twilight or the sun setting, if you're in SoCal, luckily we are, you can see that sunset and just chill on the beach. It's a great song. Great, great song. Your last one, go.
I'll take it home with a really easy one, Night Running.
Okay.
Which we've got.
I could go do Night Running.
It's just good, clean bonfire track. As it's kind of like dying out, the fire's dying out, and you're like, okay. Who wants to slap? This has been AudioFace.
Episode 103.
Episode 104. Like we said, we'll have Africa Express. Damon Albarn has black friends. Big Crit. I was about to mention another song of the summer, Energy by Big Crit, is very good from his EP that was released earlier this year. Mm. And this is going to be his full album, so that should be exciting. Tycho.
Tycho.
And Ed Sheeran and the Rubber Band Crew.
Oh,
Ed Sheeran and the Magnetic Queeros. I probably can't say that. Whatever.
First off, that's Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. Not. That's a completely different thing, but okay.
I know. I was trying to be a little bit. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SDV Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And the entire show can be found at AudioFacePod on both. Our playlist that we just talked about is at 2019.audioface.show. Check it out. Listen to it.
Tell us if you like it or if you hate it.
Put me out of my misery. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.